Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say that today is August 11th, 2008?
Today is August 11th, 2008.
Well, we're here with Mom, and we are doing a little bit of family history tonight, and we thought that we'd have her tell some stories until she gets tired of doing that or gets mad at me. And I thought the first story that I would ask is, there was a story that when you were little, that somebody, I can't remember who it was, would, when you were all dressed in a white dress, would give you a chocolate bar and be mean so you could get all messy. Remember that story?
I don't remember that at all. Nobody ever did that to me. I was spick and span clean every minute.
Well, what about the guy in front of you, the back of you, that when
you were in school and you had long hair
and he put it in inkwell.
And put it in the inkwell. Can you tell us that story?
Okay, let me start from the beginning so you get the right story about your mother, can we?
When were you born?
I was born June 26,
1929. Where?
In Victor, Idaho, at home.
At home.
Right. They had a midwife who came in and assisted. We lived on a farm. My dad was a farmer. And we lived 2.5 miles from the little town of Victor. And we would be snowbound in the wintertime because they didn't snowplow the roads. And so my father would leave the car in a big garage with other cars up in the little town of Victor. Oh, be silly. And so then we would, if we ever had to go to like state conference, would be down north along the road to Driggs, and we would go in our little covered sleigh and the horses, and we would go up to Victor and tie up the horses to a rail and for the day, and we would climb in the car and drive to Driggs and be there for the day, and we always ate dinner there.
And the horses would stay there?
And the horses would stay there because they were tied up to a rail and they had hay to eat. Then we kept them home and go back. So this was the same situation when we went to school. We'd always have to go in the sleigh up to Victor, and then Dad would come back for the day and then come back and get us, and we'd go home. In the wintertime, we'd ski behind. That was really fun. And there were snow drifts, you know, so you go up and down like this. And
so that was kind of like water skiing only on snow skis?
Yeah, you just kind of just go up and down the hills
the
and the valleys.
Or the car?
They pulled the cart, and then the cart would...
There wasn't a cart, it was a covered sleigh.
Covered?
Yep, it was not one of the big ones that you see sometimes in movies with the, you know, a big long covered canvas over the wagon or something that was big. But they just had two runners, and so they called it a bobsled. And so we were all tucked in this little thing with one seat, and we all sat on each other's laps, and some of us sat in the corner on a little stool, and we had bricks wrapped in gunny sacks under our feet to keep us warm. And it was an adventure. It was very high altitude there, so we got lots of snow. Sometimes we had snow and the wind would blow, and the snow drifts would be almost as high as our house, and we'd have to cut steps up to get out.
It's a two-story house, right?
Yep. Well, there, yeah, we had bedrooms upstairs, a couple of bedrooms. And so, you know, but we did a lot of skiing sometimes behind the sled to get to school. And there were lots of snow. No, we'd have ropes tied to the sled.
What kind of boots did you have on the skis? Were they cross-country skis?
No, we just had straps on. We had snow boots. But we lived. We survived. So we had lots of fun. But it was cold, and we always had to dress warm, snow suits and snow pants. And that's what made us such good people. It made us tough.
How did you keep the cows warm in the winter?
I don't know, I didn't have that part to handle. They grow extra hair, and the horses do, and so they all are fine.
Did the schools and church have wood burners, or did they have regular?
We had furnaces. We had a furnace in our house.
Natural gas?
Coal? Wood, coal and wood. My dad used to, in the summertime, go up in the mountains around. Our little valley was all surrounded by mountains, except on the north end, where there was kind of like dry farms, you know, just kind of rolling hills that they had made into farms. So it was a good way out. And then they had on the south end of the valley, where the mountains were really high, where Victor was, that was the last town to get to the mountains. There's a pass that went through the mountains and over to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And then there was another pass to the south where you could wind your way down and end up going down to Ryrie and Rexburg and places like that. But mostly those were snowbound, especially the one on the south, but tried to keep the one to Jackson open.
And what did you do in the summer? You had a story about getting chased by a mean goose or something.
I didn't get chased, but my little brother did. My little brother Gerald, he was a little tot. And my mother was so proud of her beautiful geese. She had they were big, you know, and white. Have you seen those kind that have they almost look like swans. But they had something against my little brother, who was just a toddler. And they would, whenever he'd be out walking or playing with us or anything, they'd sneak up behind and try to bite him. And he'd squeal and start running, and they'd run after him, and we had to get sticks and chase the geese away. That was really funny. But we all had to pitch in, because the life on the farm was, I mean, that was our living. We raised our vegetables, and we had the meat from the cows, and we had the everything, and so we were all busy taking care of these animals, and that required hay time. We had to help with the haying, because my dad would mow it all down and stack it in. We'd have to stack it into a big stack so there'd be plenty of hay, and fix it just a certain way so the water would run off and wouldn't mildew the hay.
Did they ever bale it?
We didn't, but some of the neighbors eventually got a baler and they did it, but my dad always stacked it. And he raised other crops that he sold, like wheat and oats, and that was our living.
Didn't you break your arm when you were helping with the hay?
Yeah, that was really sad, because we were rushing because it was starting to rain, and then they're just topping it off. And my job was, we had the nets laid out on the ground in front of the haystack, and they had what they called a bulldog, what do you call it, machine, that was pushed by horses, but these teeth were out in front. And they'd go and lift up a pile of hay, and then they'd push it on these nets. And then my sister Evelyn would fasten the nets, and they were attached to a big cable to the derrick that was way up there, the big long pole, and it came down. And anyway, then it fastened to the harness of the horse, which was my job to do, and I had to direct the horse and get it to pull, go out a certain distance,
like,
and then that would pull that net up. Well, this was about the last two loads that we had to do to top this off, because it was starting to rain hard. So they were saying, hurry, hurry up, yeah, hurry, get it over there and get that horse going. So I just ran over there, and I slipped on a wet rock, and I slipped on the grass, and I fell over right on my stomach with my arms out, and there was a rock about this big, and I hit it like that, and I heard it crack. And I got up, and I had a long sleeve shirt and overalls, and
overalls, you could, huh?
Oh yeah, I lived in overalls and ones with straps, and you could just see this bend down like this, and I was holding it, And they said, come on, quit clowning around. This is not a time to do your usual clowning. Get busy. And I says, I'm sorry, but I broke my arm. And Dad said, yelled out, and he says, oh, Evelyn, go over and see what that child's doing now and see what she's pulling off.
How old were you?
I was about 10, 11. And so they went over, and she says, yes, Dad, it's broken. And so my dad jumped all the way from that high stack down on this little pile. I thought he was going to kill himself. And he was so gentle, and he came running over to me, and he took it, and he was so gentle, and he carried, walked with me and held my poor little arm all the way across the field to the house, which is about half a mile, and hurried and changed his clothes and mine and my mother to help me, and I was off to Idaho Falls to get this bone set. Bones. I broke both of them. And it was bad because they were jagged. They weren't clean break. And one went this way and one went this way. And so they took me into the emergency room and they started to set it. And the story goes, they put me out, but every time they pull it, it hurt so bad I'd scream bloody murder. And they had people running down all from the hospital. What is this terrible accident that came in? I was the star of the party.
Not every day that deity breaks your arm.
That's right, deity. And so, anyway, I had to hold it like this with my palm up. And they had a metal cast. They put a cast on it, but then they put a metal thing.
It's like a
splint? It was like a metal tray thing. Mm. And I had to hold it out so that my fingers were up, and it was tucked in with my palm up and my elbow here, and then it came up with a little rest on the elbow and then up halfway up to my shoulder on my arm. And I had to wear that for 6 weeks. And that was, of course, this was just before school started, so I had this when I went to grade school. And all the mean boys would come up and they'd hit me on the end of my fingers. Mm. And then, of course, that would, you know, strain it. My dad was so mad he was going to go and tell all the fathers he was going to beat their kids to death. Their mean boys. But anyway, I survived, and I just have, but then they took it off and it was perfectly straight. But we were still in school, and I was loved to play baseball. And they said, oh, come on, you can do this. So I said, okay, I'll hold a bat with and swing it with my left hand, and I'll just sort of help support it with this right. That was just enough to make it go a little crooked. So it is. See, I can't even turn that hand over straight to this day. Oh, my parents were so upset. But anyway, so that was that episode. So then I went to school, but when I...
And you had long black hair?
Never black, just brownish.
Was it curly?
Well, it's wavy, natural wavy, but my mother used to curl it in ringlets, and it's so thick that I had 6 layers of ringlets down back. But
did it go down to the middle of your back?
Uh-huh. Got pictures, too.
I know.
I had bangs. Oh, freckles.
Star.
But then Evelyn, of course, went out to Rick's College, and then Carol graduated from high school.
Wait, let's not jump to that part.
Well, why? Why not?
I want to hear about them dipping your hair in the ink. Remember that?
Oh, well, the mean boys did that at school, and they got my clothes all covered with ink in the back when they dripped down, so my parents would go talk to their parents, and that got taken care of. That was only a few times. So.
What about picking huckleberries?
Oh yeah, that was always fun in the summertime. In the fall, we'd go up in the mountains around Dollaround, and my father always knew where the best huckleberry patches were. He kept it secret so nobody else could find them. Everybody else would be along the trail just nibbling little tiny things, but my dad would just smile at him and pass by, and we'd go up higher, find huckleberries that were as big around as your finger. So we had huckleberry jam and huckleberry pies and stuff.
Wasn't there a story about bees or something?
Oh yeah, bees. We were in the huckleberry patch and I was sitting on this log because, you know, it was kind of hard to bend over and there was this log and all these huckleberry bushes around and I kept swatting these flies and my dad said, come on, get busy and quit flapping your arms around over there. And I says, well, something's biting me over here or something. And he came over and looked and he had a bucket almost full, a gallon bucket of huckleberries and he grabbed me and a bucket went sailing down the trail and the berries all went everywhere. And he says, those are hornets, don't you know, you silly girl? And he drugged me up and started plastering mud all over me because I was bitten all over.
How old were you then?
Oh, probably about these kids' age.
15?
15? Are you that old? Oh, I was younger than that, probably about 8 or 9. And so those were those stories.
Did you learn how to ice skate when you were
no,
young?
No, but we skied a lot down the snowdrifts.
Did you have a refrigerator?
Yep.
Did you need it in the winter or did you just put it outside?
What?
Anything that needed to be cold.
Well, we put a lot of things outside, but they'd freeze too much, like the milk would freeze out there and stuff like that.
Keep it warm inside
the refrigerator.
Tell us about the lightning storms up there.
Oh, the lightning storms were exciting. And a lot of lightning because of the surrounding mountains. And they would catch houses on fire and haystacks on fire. And it came through, I can remember, one time we had a setup where, old-fashioned way, I guess, that they had the television set up and the radio so that the wire went through a little hole that Dad had fixed through the window, what do you call it, sash? Mm-hmm. And so that it could hook out onto the tree. And this lightning hit that rod, that little wire, and came through and came in through the house, and my dad had been taking a nap. It was a Sunday afternoon. And it came through the living room.
Yeah.
He'd taken an afternoon nap, and he was just getting up and putting his shoes on. And this lightning hit. It was a terrible bang, because, you know, the lightning hits, and then the thunder, if it's close, it's right after. It's just a big, huge bang. And it came through the living room, through the door of the hall, into the door of where my parents' bedroom was, and it hit my dad. And he was frozen there for about a minute, and we were all so frightened. But it started the ledge of the window on fire because it was wood. So he had to come and douse that out.
Did it, like, raise his hair up or anything? Or?
No, he was just sitting there like this. It's just sort of... Well,
he got hit about, like, 3 times.
Oh yeah, he had scars on his arms, but a couple of other times he got hit by lightning.
In the field or something?
Yeah.
Herding the cows?
No, probably irrigating or something like that.
Something and get near miss.
But they were such good people. They were so religious and true to the church, and we never missed any meetings or... He always took us to Mutual at night, and we... to church, and... Then,
how did your family end up in Victor, Idaho?
Well, his father homesteaded up there. And they had a family of about 6 boys and a couple of girls. So he just grew up there, and he got part of his father's farm. And
how did your father meet your mother?
She was similar circumstances. Her parents had homesteaded up there too, and they met at church.
What about the little girl that was hurt or something, and your dad was taking care of her or something, hurt her knee?
I'm wondering if he knows the story.
What was that story, Dad?
I don't remember the details. I'm going to, you have to change it, but your dad, somebody had fallen down and hurt themselves, and your dad was helping them, and that was the first time they'd ever met. You remember that story?
No, but that sounds like something my dad would do. Very loving, very kind. We had a wonderful time. My dad was always had a lot of jokes and a lot of games, and he and mother were beautiful singers, and they used to sing duets and solos in all the programs at the church when they had cantatas or whatever, and they played with us and played games, and we had a wonderful childhood. They were wonderful parents.
Now, your dad was on the High Council for a long time?
He was on the High Council, and my mother was the state primary president, and this was one of the stories I was going to tell you. But we'd have to go to Driggs, or Victor, and then we have to go all the way to Driggs, which was about 15 or 20 miles north, and that's where they held the meetings. And my father would sit in the first chair in the High Council, and my mother would sit on the stand as the president of the primary, and we five kids would sit in the audience. And one day, one of the High Councilmen leaned over to my dad and said, "Howard, who are those little kids that always come and they always sit there every state conference? And I just feel so sorry for them." And he says, "Well, I don't know," and called the guy by name. He says, "Maybe we ought to ask the state president to take up a search and see if they can figure that out." And somebody down in front of him turned around and said, "Oh, Howard's just Josh, and those are his kids." So, but anyway.
Did you ever have to come down and discipline any?
No, we were perfect children. And anyway, they always had two sessions in the morning, and then they'd have lunch. We could eat lunch there for a little. We all had to pay to help the cost for them to fix it, and then they'd have the afternoon session. So it was an all-day affair.
Did he ever have to go over to Jackson Hole?
Uh-huh.
Was that in your state?
Uh-huh. And we'd go over with him. We'd always go with him. And as the kids...
Was that a pretty long trip?
That was a nice long trip, about an hour and a half drive, or an hour, I guess. But we'd always take a picnic. And we'd have a picnic on the way back. But he'd always go in the fall or spring, not in the winter. He'd always get people from over that area in the High Council to take care of. But one of the fun things we had was the huckleberrying. I told you about that up in the mountains. We always did that.
Did you go like swimming in the rivers or anything?
Never. To this day, I don't swim.
Or bicycles?
No. Horseback riding, though. That was fun. No saddle, but horseback, bareback.
Mm-hmm. Did you play any Andy
Iover over there? Oh, in the garage. The house was too tall.
Our kids don't know what that is. How do you play Andy Iover?
You don't know how to play Andy Iover? Well, Mary Ann's not even interested in this story. I would think she'd just shut that book and listen to your grandma. You can't do that and listen. But what you do is you choose up sides, and you have the same number on one side, or if you have enough, and on the other side of the building. And then you say, Annie, I over, and you throw a ball over, and if they catch it, then they try to run around onto your side, and if they touch you, then you have to stay on their side. And so the object of the game is to see who can get all the players on their side.
The ball.
Yeah, you have to be touched. You can't throw it and hit them. You have to touch them gently. That's kind of a...
If you catch the ball, it's an automatic out. We used to play it too. And if it bounces,
if it bounces what?
Then you can go touch them, but if you catch it, then they're out. Oh.
You have to catch it to run. You can't pick it up off the ground. Yeah, but if they drop it, then they have to pick it up and say, "Annie, I over," and toss it back. So, but that was fun, and we all used to play.
I like dodgeball with a house in the way.
Yeah. We used to play, well, the garage is quite a ways from the house, so we didn't get broken windows. We had a beautiful house. My dad and his brothers built it. And it was one of the nicest houses in Victor. We had a really beautiful house.
Had a big porch, right?
Had a big porch, and we had a beautiful dining room, and we had this plastered walls that were kind of, some of it stuck out a little bit and dents and stuff around, you know. But she had beautiful carpets and furniture and stuff. We had a really nice house.
Did you ever have any wildlife like bears or
no.
coyotes or?
Coyotes. They were our pests because my dad, one of his sources of income was his sheep, because they'd sell the wool and even sell the sheep for mutton and stuff like that. But he had a big herd of sheep, and we had to watch the coyotes. And
did he have a gun?
Yep. Rifle. And
how hot would it get in the summertime?
Not very hot. It was really pleasant up there. I'd have to get sunburns, though. That's why I still have a bump in my nose with all my sunburns. Mm-hmm. You want to feel it?
I can feel it.
Mm. Not that that's a mole, but right here you can feel it in. Mm. So we used to wear sun hats and stuff.
You had your oldest brother, Cleon, and then your
sister, Evelyn.
Evelyn
and Carol,
and you,
and Gerald.
Gerald.
Was it?
Yeah, did you have any fun stories about Cleon? I never hear any stories about him.
Oh, Cleon was just a good worker. He never did marry. But he was a good, jolly guy. He'd play games with us and stuff. And
in the winter, did you play lots of board games and read?
Oh, we were great readers. My mother loved to read, and my dad, and that's what we always get for Christmas and birthdays. And we had series, like a series of books under the title of the Merriweather Girls or the Campfire Girls, and there'd be maybe 8 books in each series. These would all be our gifts for Christmas or birthdays and stuff. And my mother was a wonderful seamstress. She sewed all our clothes. Made all our clothes.
Before television, so you had to do something.
Oh, we listened to the radio. We used to listen to the play. There was a, what do they call those? Always a
troll?
Well, I know there was a show that we listened to. Little Orphan Annie, and there was another one. We always listened to those. Every one would be on one night and one on the other. But we had a piano, and we had.
Now, when did you start to learn the clarinet?
My clarinet. I started that in 8th grade about. But then I was going to tell you, we didn't have a high school at Victor. So we had to go on a bus down to Driggs, which is about 15 miles away. And so I went there when Carol was and Evelyn were still, and then Evelyn went out to Rick's, and then Carol graduated and went out to Rick's. So I only got 1 year at Driggs, and then my folks said, you know what? There's no sense in our having to take you up with just one person to get the bus to get to school all the time. So we're going to have you go out, and by this time Evelyn had just married, and you're going to live with your older sister and go to high school at it. And boy, that was a shocker to me.
In Rexburg.
In Rexburg.
How old were you?
Well, what'd that be, 12?
15.
That old?
It was high school. Because Mariette started in high school, and she's 15.
Okay, that's about how old he was. So that was really quite a shock to my system, because I, but I was really blessed to get in with some really wonderful friends. They were good girls. And
it'd be like Marianne going to live with Daniel and Jennifer.
Yeah, yeah. And so that was an interesting experience, but I get really lonely. I wanted to, I loved my parents so much. I really admired them. They were so religious, and my dad had such a, and mother had such testimonies I loved. And they sang together, duets. They're beautiful singers, both of them.
We're going to pause for just a minute here.
Good.
No, you sound good. We're back. We're having fun. And this isn't so bad, is it?
That was kind of fun, as long as you laugh while I'm doing it. Oh, where were we?
Well, you just told us about going to high school and you're kind of lonely, but did you, in high school, did you play in the band and all that kind of stuff?
I did, and I got to be first chair clarinetist there again, and we were in the marching band, and we won first place in all of the tournaments we had, even with the contest with Idaho Falls and all these other bigger places. So, and I also played in the orchestra, and it was a beautiful clarinet. It was of wood, and so it had a beautiful sound. Nobody could match my sound, so when he had tryouts, I always got first chair just because of the sound of my clarinet, not because I was any good, but it used to make my friends so mad. But then
did you
I
have some boyfriends in high school?
Oh yes. And
sparkle.
They were nice guys. But then I was, so there I was there for 3 years, and then it got,
you
know, so
was he farming then at that time? Was Mark farming or going to school or
they were in town for, he was still finishing up his college, and and Evelyn was teaching in the grade schools up there at Rexburg. And then when Mark finished, they went out and built a house by his parents on the farm. And so then I actually only lived with them 1 year, and then they were finished. So I lived with my other sister, Carol, who was just married, but they lived a little further west from the high school and the college, and so I had a long ways to walk.
were they going to college too?
No, they were married, and Ralph was working, and Carol had finished at Rick's, so it was kind of turned out about right.
Was Ralph working for the post office there?
Uh-huh.
He delivered the mail too. Like,
yeah.
That's dead.
And so then, after that, I got a, let's see, I finished my high school living with them, and then finally they decided that they needed the extra room. They were having so many kids, so I lived I lived in the dorms that that they had for Rick's college students.
When you were in
for
high
a year. No, when I was at, by then I started Rick's. And I lived there 1 year, but it's too expensive. So then after that, I got an apartment with some other girls, and we found a little house that some people had.
Did you have a job?
Yes. My big thing in high school was to learn shorthand and typing. And so this was my mainstay. That's how I made my way through school. And through college was to be a secretary in spare time. So I was the secretary to the placement director at Rick's College. And that was only a 2-year school then. So then after I did that, I decided I wanted to go to BYU. And so Keith Duffin said, well, he says, I have a suggestion for you. He says, I am going to call my friend Harold Carlston, who is the placement director at the University of Utah, and he can help you. Maybe he'll help you find a good job. So I went there, and he hired me on the spot for his secretary. So
to the University of Utah instead of BYU?
Well, no, I graduated from BYU, but then I wanted, for some reason, just wanted to be in Salt Lake.
Did you have a job at BYU?
Yeah, I worked for this Keith Duffin.
Oh,
I told you it was different. Yeah, when I went to BYU, I worked, it was Keith Duffin.
And you worked for somebody else at Ricks as a secretary?
Yeah.
Can we back up a little bit and tell us about your experience in social life at Ricks College before you went to BYU?
Why do you want to know that?
Because you had a good experience there.
I had what?
You had a good experience in your social life at Ricks?
Oh, of course. I always had a good time. I was a pretty...
Do you remember being a princess?
Oh, yes. There was. They have what they call a Delta Phi. Do you know what that is? That's a returned missionary sorority.
No.
And...
All the missionaries of BYU belong to what is called Delta Phi.
Well, and they had this also up at Ricks College.
And afterwards, it was the war. But at Ricks also, they had this. Almost all the people that were on missions belonged to Delta.
Well, anyway, they had this big dance, and it was going to just for the Delta Phi members, and it was a formal dance. And at the intermission, they said, well, we're now going to introduce the Dream Girl of Delta Phi, and this is something that they just kind of vote separately, and nobody knew who it was, and all of a sudden I heard my name, and I about fainted. And I was so embarrassed, and I had to walk up in front of all these guys and sit on the stand and a throne, and they put a crown on my head and sang this song, "You're the Dream Girl of Delta Phi, lovely Dream Girl of Delta Phi. Your lips, your hair, and your skin so fair." Oh gosh, I was so embarrassed. But not only that, after that, then they had an interstate. Yeah, they had an interstate Delta Phi dance down in Salt Lake. And so they tucked me in their cars, and I went all the way down there to be marched along in a parade with all these other dream girls from different colleges. So that was interesting. But
did you go to the football games and stuff, or did they have football?
At BYU?
At
Ricks? Oh, yeah.
Who was your escort at the dream girl band?
It was Dale Goodson. And I didn't even like him, so that was even harder.
Didn't like him?
Yeah. He was a nice guy, though. He was very kind. So, anything else you want to know about Rexburg?
So what did you get your degree in?
Business education.
How many years were you there?
I was at Ricks College for 2 years.
2 years? And then
3 years.
And then you went to BYU? And what degree did you get there?
Same, business education.
And did you live in the dorms or in a house?
Let's see. I don't remember what I did at BYU.
You lived in the dorms.
I lived in the dorms for a while. And then, after I graduated, I went to Salt Lake City. I had a real... They wanted me to stay BYU and work there, but I said, no, I just have a feeling I need to be in Salt Lake.
Why weren't you President Wilkinson's secretary?
Oh, nobody wanted to be his secretary.
Why?
He was so growly. He had a male secretary. But anyway, I went to Salt Lake with two other girls that I'd met at BYU, and we went up and found jobs, and I got this, that Keith Duffin sent me up to the placement director at the University of Utah, and he said he'll help you find a good job in Salt Lake, and he wrote a letter of recommendation, and Harold Carlson hired me on the spot because his secretary was getting married. No. But anyway, so we got a went up with these other two girls, and we were lucky enough to find an apartment on the top of a house that they'd had. They're close to the University of Utah campus, and these other two girls had to catch a bus and go downtown to work every day, but I just had to walk up the hill. So we got there on a Friday, and we went to church on Sunday, and the church was right south on the street just below the University of Utah campus, the beginning of it. And we walked into church, and I met Harvey the first day I was there.
Now, was he...
getting his PhD.
Was he getting his PhD? Was he in the bishopric, or was he...
Not then. Yeah, were you, Harvey? I don't think you were yet. Maybe you were.
I was president of the mutual.
President of the mutual.
At first, and then he...
At first. I don't know when you came, but I was the bishopric.
Tell us about his harem.
Oh, he had... Well, yeah, and so then we started dating, and then pretty soon we were engaged, and all the ladies up there and girls were saying, who is this Diatonk? She comes to town and steals our guy right out from under our noses. He's been ours for years.
What about the list?
Oh, he had a list. And when he started going, he says, I have a list of girls I go with from 1 to about 30, and you're 31. And I says, oh, you... I'll be to the top of the list, and I'll drop you so flat, fast, your head will swim. That was my desire. But I changed my mind about the time I got there.
Tell us about your first date.
I don't remember the first date.
Didn't you hike Tim?
Oh, yeah. He made me climb all the way to...
Wasn't it supposed to be like a ward activity or something?
How about you tell that part? I forgot. Speak so you can hear.
We had a they had an annual hike up Timpanogos, and they'd sleep at the beginning of the trail. The trail goes all the way to the top, and we'd sleep at the bottom and get up at 4 o'clock in the morning when it was cool and climb to the top of Timpanogos. So I was in Salt Lake, and I thought it'd be nice to have all the mutual. I think I was president of mutual at the time. And so I thought that all the guys and girls would go, but none of them would go. And
the story is better
than that. I already asked Dia if she would go.
So he was stuck.
But I couldn't see sleeping down there with her.
Nor could I.
So I got another guy to come. He got a date.
And she and I slept in the car, and you guys slept in that side in sleeping bags. I remember that part. When the windows were shut and the doors locked.
I didn't trust you.
We got up early, I think 4 o'clock.
He was so nice. He cut little steps for me up the steep trails.
We all had struggle. Everybody struggled to get to the top. It's hard to hike. But coming down, she wasn't going to go down that glacier. Her knees did not on her. Now, I'm going to tell
her. Cut little steps for you.
I know. You're so sweet.
But she was wet. That was our first date.
And then you both had dates that night.
That's right.
Yes, and mine was...
going to a movie.
No. Was yours going to a dance?
Yeah.
No, you went window shopping.
You went window shopping and I went to a dance.
Oh.
So
well, you know this story better than I. You better tell it.
And
well,
you were
I was so tired. I never went with that guy again.
I never went with that girl.
I thought your date was a little upset that you'd had another date that day, so he took you into the shop.
Yeah. Well, you guys know these stories better than we do. Why come we have to tell them?
You're right, huh?
How many times have you heard this
story? I haven't heard it too often. I remember that part. I thought that was funny.
So, when you dated, you had a special place to go kind of in the middle of the day and talk near the University of Utah. Do you remember that?
Where?
We went to the park all the time and had a little picnic lunch. Occasionally we ate at a little cafe there. And one night we went, after we were engaged, we were reading a book together. We wanted to get away from everybody from the apartment, so we went to a cemetery.
I forgot all that.
What is it, by Edgar Allan Poe or something?
No, it was about marriage.
Oh.
What we should do when we get married. We were pretty innocent. So they locked the gates of the cemetery. We had a hard time getting out. One of our...
Okay, I forgot. How did we get out?
I don't remember.
We climbed the wall.
We're still there. Maybe we're still there.
Maybe you had to stay the night.
Maybe that's why I can't remember.
It seems like we saw the guy that was shutting, locking.
Well, I'm glad I forgot that one. You guys forget that. Erase that off of there. You don't have to spread that all around. Okay.
So, did you still play baseball and that kind of stuff in college?
Nope. I had to have nimble fingers on the typewriter to pay my way.
So, did you play the clarinet in college or piano?
No.
What did you do for fun?
I went on dates, all the cute boys.
What kind of things did you do on dates?
Well, mostly their dances or movies or, you know, ball games.
Okay, and how long did you remember how long you dated Dad before you started kind of getting serious or engaged or anything?
Now, you don't need to know all those details, Thomas.
Okay. If you don't want to share that, that's fine.
We were engaged in November. We got married in March.
Okay.
And we dated how long?
Before you got engaged.
I remember she got kind of mad. I went down to after. No, before. I
what? You went with somebody else after we were engaged?
Before.
I took the landlady and two girls down to California, and you were upset.
Oh, well, you had the landlady with you, and she was...
Yeah.
Well, these girls were really upset in Salt Lake because they were trying to catch Harvey, and I heard one of them say, who is this girl? Comes up here from Provo, Utah, and Harvey's been ours for years, and she takes him right out from under our noses. So, there you have it.
She was pretty good at athletics in the ward. She was
playing
baseball.
Whose? You.
Oh, I did? Well, I was a tomboy.
You were pretty good on the dance.
Oh, exactly. Really.
Filled up your dance card, huh?
I was perfect. Just admit it. You found your dream girl.
So, let's see. When, so we got married.
Wait. When was the first time you met each other's families?
Oh, yeah.
After you were engaged, were
or
you?
When did you first meet the Fletcher clan?
Well, they were still living back east, weren't they? They hadn't moved to Provo.
From Timpanogos, they were living in Willow Lane, and you always thought it was funny I didn't bring you in and introduce you. We stopped there.
But you were afraid I was too dirty for your mother. All dusty with my clothes.
So you didn't meet my parents at that time. I remember very distinctly meeting your parents.
They came down special. They wanted to know who this person was that I was talking about.
Oh, I guess that's right. But I came up, up to Victor the first time, and the power was off. And so there were just candles that were burning. I thought, wow, this was really
quaint. She thought he'd gone to the ends of the earth.
They didn't have any water.
Did they have a pet chicken?
Yeah, we did, and chased him, a pet rooster.
And they had a thing like this to get the telephone.
A little dial, a little crank on the phone.
Party line.
It's a long time before we got a telephone in our... Well, the thing is, none of the neighbors wanted to go in on it, and my dad didn't want to pay the whole thing because he knew they'd latch onto it right away, so he went a long time without a telephone.
And in November, was it when you got engaged or before?
I think the first time we went up.
First time we got engaged, what?
I think we were engaged the first time we went up.
No, I think they came down and met you before.
Yeah, they had met me before, but when I first went up there, I think I was engaged because I remember
so that would have been
a little, we had to sleep in a different bedroom.
Well, of course.
And,
get this story straight. You did what?
Put it on the wrong pillow.
What did you say?
He said he wrote a little note saying I love you and your mother found it instead of you.
I didn't know about that. Well, she fell in love with you too, so it was all right.
So,
did those kids find a light to turn on? Where did they go?
They went outside to ride bikes.
Oh, okay.
When you got married, tell us about your wedding. The night you got
engaged,
she likes
to tell
us.
Oh, the night you got
engaged. Go ahead.
I'll start you out and see if you can remember. We sort of knew that this was coming up.
We kind of liked each other.
Well, there was that. We didn't talk about it.
But he used to always tell me, he'd say, well, he says, I've gone with this many girls, and you're number 32. Well, you made it up to 24 today. Well, you made it up to 30. Pretty soon I got to the top, and I said in my mind, as soon as I get the top, I'm going to drop this guy so fast. But I didn't.
So, the night you got engaged, what happened, you know?
I can't remember all these things.
I got an orchid, and then she really can't remember
what was going on. You gotta speak loud enough so you can hear.
And then we went to the fancy restaurant I knew in Salt Lake City, which was smuggest one type. And,
Chuck around.
No.
That's where it all began.
You ought to change so he can hear. Change chairs.
I'll talk a lot. And she kept looking under her plates and...
I did not.
She did.
He's always a clown.
This dance. She had the orchid on, and then they, in between two of the dances, we decided to go. I said, why don't we go into the other room for a minute? You remember that?
No.
And wasn't it upstairs?
And it was upstairs.
You know the story there, man. See, I'm losing my memory.
This was at a church, right?
It was a steakhouse.
Yeah. Steak Center. Yeah.
Steak Center. You don't remember.
And so you went upstairs and did you get down on your knees?
I got down on my knees. And you don't remember any of that, huh?
What did you say?
Sure fun to hear it again, though.
We sort of laughed and Would you marry me? And she said, yes, I'll marry you. And she laughed. So,
and did you have a ring?
Yeah. I gave her the ring.
Did she put it on?
Yeah.
Can't you see it?
No.
My knuckles are so big I can't put it on anymore.
And so you
floated down the stairs.
Floated down the stairs, and they turned the spotlight on you guys.
Did they stop the orchestra?
I think he put a bug in somebody's ear.
And they made the announcement. And they had Dee and I dance in the middle by ourselves for the whole state.
They had this all planned, you see.
No, I didn't.
Well, how did they know to stop and to...
When we went back to the dance hall after I gave you the ring...
I was going like this to everybody?
How did they know to stop the music?
Well, the word got around.
It went like butterflies as soon as they... I said, you know...
They could tell from the glow from the smile.
Oh, exactly. Mostly him. I caught her. And then all the girls were standing around and said, oh, he was supposed to have been ours. Sniff, sniff. She says, who is this girl? She comes from out of Clear from a little town in Idaho. He's been ours for years, and she comes down here and snitches him right out from under our noses. Those were the very words they said.
So this was in November of 1952?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
And then, then they had us break up, and I'd take the partner, and she'd take the partner.
Snowball.
Snowball thing.
Snowball. Yeah.
And then did you get back together?
Well, no, never.
Never danced again?
You ask a dumb question, you get a dumb answer.
Okay, I'll try not to ask. Okay, let's move on to your wedding.
You have a sparky little mother-in-law.
You had a big party?
Yeah, I think we went out.
After the dance?
Uh-huh.
To celebrate.
They were celebrating to see how we finally got married. We finally got engaged.
The bishop wasn't there. The bishop was, because I was his counselor. He'd make comments and war over the Pope.
Yeah, I know. Well, Dee and Harvey, they were out there, were to the party last night, having a wonderful time.
I got some letters from some of my girlfriends, stuff like that. So he was real pleased.
Had chosen the right one.
So, and you're working on your PhD, and then you decided to get married. What day did you get married?
She knows the date. Do you remember the date?
No, March 23rd. Your lucky day.
Lucky 23 day. Yeah. In 53, which is only 30 more than 23.
And the day we got married was a little different too.
Boy, it was really wild. The biggest snowstorm of the winter.
So you were in Victor and you had to get to
Idaho. Right. That's right. So my dad said, okay, Harvey, I'll start out and you follow in my tracks. And we were the first one out of the valley. They hadn't snow plowed the roads but we made it and we got there. We felt like little wet rats when we went in.
They held
the ceremony for us for 2 hours because we were so...
Did you go through an endowment session first?
Did we go through an endowment session?
Or did you do that in advance?
No, we went through the endowment. That's what they held up.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they knew that there'd been this big storm and Dad stopped along the way when he got to the little towns and called and told them where we were. so.
Did you have your sisters there in the temple with you when you got married?
Yep.
Yep.
And your brothers?
Well, not quite, no. Maybe one of them had their endowments then.
Okay. Did either one of them go on a mission?
Gerald did.
Gerald did?
Well, he went on a stake mission. He was on.
Stake mission?
Yeah.
Okay. So, then you got out of the temple, and was it really cold? Did you take pictures and stuff then?
Probably not, because it was freezing. I think we took a few out in front. But then we went back to Rexburg to have the wedding reception that night, and my folks...
Was that at, like, Mark's...
Mark and Evelyn's,
yeah. Evelyn's house, or their ward house?
Their ward. And, let's see, it seems like my folks... Did they go home that night, or did they stay in Rexburg? I think they tried to go home that night.
We were all... I know you and I did.
They were real worried. We were all worried about them getting home in the storm.
They had a little Elizabeth Crooks.
Yes, yeah, she was our flower girl.
Why did she do that?
Because Harvey's brothers thought that they should have a say in our wedding.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And did Harvey and Lorena come up for that too?
Oh,
yeah.
Were any of your brothers there? Who was there?
Jim was my best man.
Did Bob come?
Jim was there, the best man, and...
Did Bob come, and Paul?
No. We have a line, if we could...
Yeah, we have a picture of that. Somewhere.
Somewhere. And did you have a big reception, lots of people, or just a few people?
Oh, everybody turned up. I was there, after all.
All the local people were there, but people from Victor
couldn't get down. They couldn't get down because of the snowstorm. But everybody knew me in Rexburg, so.
Did you have many people come up from Salt Lake, or did you have another open house?
We had an
open house. She decided to have an open house for people that were her friends.
She's the sister to Harvey's mother. And Elva.
So
younger sister.
As many as we wanted, but she had
a bunch of people. Well, we got enough stuff to last us for the rest of our lives. We still use it.
So she was one of the three sisters. There was Fern and Lorena and...
And Elva.
But...
There was another one.
Virgie.
Virgie was the oldest, wasn't she?
But the three that Grandpa Fletcher took out was wasn't Elva. It was Virgie, Lorena, and Fern. Right.
Well, he married the two, Lorena and Virgie, and Lorena and Fern.
I'm going to pause.
Good.